From the land of Grants University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 15th day of April, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the coming WTO meeting already looks like it will be a bust. Immigration legislation looks like it will take a step forward on the Hill with a new guest worker program for agriculture. And the Grecian debt is back in the headlines. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. And don't forget, as we close out our program together, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Let's check on this Monday afternoon the numbers as they settled up in Chicago from the CME Group at 115 today. May futures in the soft red winter wheat were down 21 cents on their settlement price at $6.93¾. The July or harvest month at $6.99¼, down 20 and a quarter. The hard red in Kansas City finished the hard red July at $7.39. That's down 20 and a quarter cents. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, nearby May contract at $6.46¾. The settlement price down 11 and three quarters. July corn at $6.28, 13 and a quarter lower. September at $5.56¾, down 20 and a quarter. December corn, $5.32¼, down 17 and three quarters of a cent. Next year's March at $5.42½, a settlement price there, down 17 and three quarters. From the bean pit nearby, May at $13.95 on a settlement price, down 18 cents. July at $13.56, 23 and a quarter lower. August soybeans at $13.14¼, down 25. And September, $12.48½, down 24 and three quarters. November beans, $12.06¾, 25 cents lower. January contract of next year, 24½ lower at $12.13¼. Bean meal futures at $3.93.30, down 6.90. Bean oil, $1.05 lower at $48.18. Live cattle futures finished the nearby June at $119.82½, 92½ cents lower. August down a buck at $120.40. May feeders at $139.80, down $1.12½. The August at $146.37½, down $1.42½, and the lean hogs finished the May at $86.27½, down $1.10. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures on the day trading the May contract at $88.46 a barrel, down $2.83. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at 2.75¼ cents a gallon, down 4.9 cents. And ethanol at 2.37¼, a nickel and a tenth lower. The difference between the two is now 37.9 cents. That's just about unchanged on the day. And natural gas at $4.15¼ is down 7¼ cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel for the afternoon, 5 2/10 lower at 281 8/10, and the gold at $1,360.60 an ounce on its settlement price, down $140.40 an ounce. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Scattered showers, some thunderstorms, should be cloudy. A high of 67 degrees on a southwest wind at 11 to 14 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 18. Chance of precipitation in the area set at 50%, though it has been raining outside the studios here. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this evening. Showers are likely, possibly a thunderstorm. That should all come after 8 in the evening. Cloudy and a low of 47 tonight. West winds at 7 to 11. Chance of precipitation in the area this evening set at 60%. And then on Tuesday, showers are likely, possibly a thunderstorm coming before 8 a.m., then showers and thunderstorms afterwards until 2 o'clock in the afternoon Central Time. Showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 2, cloudy and a high of 60 degrees on a northeast wind at 10 miles an hour. Chance of precip tomorrow, 60%. Tuesday night, a 60% chance of rainfall. Wednesday, showers are likely set at 70% during the day with a high of 73 degrees. And Wednesday evening, showers and thunderstorms. Thursday, showers and thunderstorms. Stay with us. We'll have more on that at the bottom of the half hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason on this April the 15th, Tax Day. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Kurt Kimmel out of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, lots of bad things happening today. Have to pay your taxes if you haven't yet. And the marketplace really decided to turn lower. I guess the headline I kept reading was all China.
Well, that was part of the equation. I don't know if necessarily those numbers are that bearish. We believe probably the main concern is the European side of the equation, as far as Syria and Cyprus and a lot of unrest and uneasiness over in that part of the world. The main concern started last week with ideas that some of these countries could maybe possibly be in trouble again, and that maybe some of the world metal reserves would have to be liquidated to help shore up some accounts and keep them creditworthy of these other countries helping step in and not letting the so-called domino effect come in. But investor confidence over the weekend went just about near zero. And, of course, anyone who's watching the markets or heard the markets here today saw that there was quite a bit of panic across all sectors in the commodity world.
Silver and gold were both down hard.
It's one of the biggest drops in history. Of course, we were at all-time historic highs here just not too long ago, so it does have room to follow suit. We'll see how much more selling pressure comes into the marketplace. We're seeing most of the time that these washouts last up to 3 days, and this would be day two of it, Todd.
So one more today, one more day tomorrow, maybe. Could be longer, I suppose. Then do we stop the bleeding in the commodities, or do they readjust?
Well, I think there's reason for a recovery somewhat, especially in the grain complex. Commodity fund liquidation, I have a feeling tomorrow's open interest will show a decline. Funds were sellers up to 10,000 contracts of corn, 6,000 wheat, 5,000 beans going into midday, but world fundamentals haven't changed a whole lot as of yet, especially old crop. Old crop's still relatively tight. It's just that we need to make sure that some of these end users stay in business to continue to buy some inventory. As far as new crop goes, ideas that next week could be a little warmer and drier. Probably what's more accurate than that forecast is the longer-term 30-day forecast. From the standpoint, there's hope that as we approach the end of the month, into May, especially the southeast, will be a lot warmer, a lot drier than what they've been accustomed to seeing here. This afternoon's planting progress report, looking for anywhere for 4 to 6% of the corn being in the ground as a nation. It's a little slower than last year, but on the historic part, average-wise, we're not going to be that far behind, Todd.
Now, I did make note China was in overnight, I think, or over the weekend, at least for a little soft red winter wheat.
I guess buy the rumor and sell the fact. Man, China, 480,000 tons. That's been well-rumored. There's idea. There's another million to 1.5 million metric tons of business to be had yet. So seeing China step up and be a world buyer of U.S. Soft red winter wheat's encouraging here, and it represents there is some demand underneath the market. We just need to make sure these end users or buyers regain some confidence here to step forward.
I know you like to watch the chart from time to time. Besides those big gaps lower in the late option corn charts, what do you see?
Well, on the corn side of the equation, a reverse of fortunes here. We were set up to go up and try to fill those gaps we left after the stocks report kind of reversed down. We're back to the midway support levels on the lead option contract here, so we need to technically wise, find some support here just under today's lows. However, on the December futures contract, we had an outside down day, failed to get above and stay above this 550 area. So key support in the D's futures is going to be 525. Failure to hold that would suggest a quick drop to $5.
Anything for the livestock producer today?
Well, cheaper grain values, but on the other hand, just no real demand surfacing to support overall flat prices for beef and pork on the board. Cash hogs were firmer, and ideas could firm up in through here. But just like all the other commodities, the livestock sector was hit with commodity fund selling throughout the day. We look for a turnaround in the meat sector first tomorrow to sort of lead the whole agricultural complex higher.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, because usually if the grains are down hard, at least in recent times, the livestock might look a little better, but not
margin, today. Margin call guy didn't. He didn't care. He said, we got to get out of something here to meet margin. It was hit clear across the board.
All right. You have a good afternoon. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Take care, Todd. Thanks.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. You can always hear him again on our website at willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, as we get started with the growing season, a couple of places that I'd like you to visit. Well, we've got this little stall, our rainfall, and you've been hopping around the internet maybe. WillAg.org is one of them. Another one is the Farm Doc Daily website. That's farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. You can find all kinds of information from the Ag Economist. And the Crop Scientists have a website as well. That one's called The Bulletin. It's easiest probably just to search Google for The Bulletin, Illinois. Should be one of the first items that comes up. Now here's Dave with today's agricultural news.
U.S. Ambassador to the World Trade Organization Michael Punca says that the prospects for a package of achievements that World Trade Organization member country trade ministers could approve at their scheduled meeting in Indonesia later this year is grim, and that the prospects for agriculture negotiations is even more dire. Punca says that there has not been agreement on trade facilitation, the issue that is supposed to be at the center of the agreement. Farm groups are applauding an agreement with United Farm Workers and key senators who have been negotiating over an agriculture guest worker program. Under a new visa program, employers would be allowed to hire as many as 112,000 foreign laborers to work in agriculture in the first year after the program is implemented. An additional 112,000 slots would be open in the program's second year and so on for 5 years, with the total number capped at 337,000. A bipartisan group of senators is finishing up the final details and is planning to unveil the proposed legislation tomorrow as part of sweeping immigration reform. The measure would put millions who are in the U.S. illegally on a 13-year path to citizenship while toughening border security requirements. International debt inspectors have reached an agreement with Greece on the country's economic reforms, including the firing of civil servants, paving the way for the debt-ridden country to receive the next installment of its bailout. The review by the International Monetary Fund, European Commission, and European Central Bank is part of a regular process under which Greece receives installments. In a joint statement issued today, the three institutions said recent steps taken by Greece suggest that targets for March are likely to be met in the near future, and the Eurozone could soon give Greece a $3.7 billion cash infusion. Iceland today became the first European nation to strike a free trade deal with China. The China-Iceland Free Trade Pact will lower tariffs on a range of goods and is expected to boost seafood and other exports from the Nordic state to the world's second largest economy. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can access 24 hours a day, 7 days a week off our website. The address there is willag.org. They're posted not long or sometimes even before they air on our radio stations. Again, that web address, willag.org. If you want to use the mobile phone on that same address, that's fine, or you can use this website, m.willag.org. And if you happen not to have a smartphone, but you'd still like to get a bit of information from us via your phone, just dial this number, 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434, updated with some analysis and some numbers at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day, Central Time, USA of the year. Now up next, you know, spring is arriving a bit slowly to the Midwest, and farmers are or soon will be going to the field. Of course, the price of their crops is falling now. I'll have more on what producers can expect from those crops and what they might be worth this season. Eventually, the effects of last year's drought will wear off. Rains have already fallen on some of the parched Midwest, and farmers, if they could get into their now-soaked fields, would. It looks to be a slow start to the growing season, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good.
Looks like corn planting, for the most part in the Midwest, is going to be pushed back to late April, early May. I think that's still very timely planting, but if we see even further delays, then I think there will be some ongoing concern about corn acreage perhaps being shifted to soybeans, although historically it's taken a very late planting season for that to happen, but also some concern about yield if corn planting gets much past the first week of May.
Even so, it looks today as if this year's corn crop will be a big one by the time fall arrives. If it is, the price of corn will be much, much, much lower.
I'm still in the camp that says we have the potential of a very large corn crop yet, and prospects for building inventories. And under that scenario, I would expect we would bring prices back down to the pre-drought levels that we experienced in 2010, 2011. Would be more in the $4.50 to $4.75 range, compared to just under $7 expected for this marketing year.
New crop corn prices haven't dropped that far, well, just yet, and it's still possible for them to rally, says Darrell Good.
Yeah, I think now with the delays in planting here and still some ongoing dryness in the western areas, given the price declines that we've seen in the corn market, I wouldn't necessarily be very aggressive on pricing new crop corn at this point. Thinking that this weather uncertainty, yield concerns could support or bring a little price increase back into new crop corn.
Maybe, but it is important to watch the price of new crop corn and to take advantage of higher prices when they come. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is tax day, the 15th day of April, a Monday afternoon. On the phone line, Greg Johnson of the Andersons to look at the cash grain market. Kind of a wet afternoon today, Greg.
It is. It's gloomy, and the markets reflect that, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Is that what you call that?
Well, I've heard it called other things, but that's, we'll say that on the air. How's that?
Well, what do you think the causes were for the day?
Well, I think a lot of it was the outside markets, combination of China economy not growing as fast. I mean, they're only growing at 7.7%. We would love to have an economy only growing at 7.7%, but mm-hmm. the expectations were 8% or higher. So I guess that's a little negative. And, you know, with gold and oil and silver all getting crushed today, it spilled over into the commodities. And then you throw in the forecast, which doesn't look very favorable this week, but next week it's supposed to be drier. But, of course, it can't get much wetter than what we've had the last couple of weeks. But a drier forecast has some traders thinking maybe we might see some corn getting planted late next week sometime.
Yeah, maybe in our area, other parts of the Midwest, but certainly the Dakotas are in deep trouble at this time, I would think. They might have a really late start to their season.
Exactly. I think it's 3 weeks at a minimum before they can get into the field. And, you know, there's already some talk about, you know, at what point in time will they settle for the prevented planting, you know, if it comes to that. I mean, they get a 60% payment, depending on what their expenses are. You know, I think the calculations are already being done. You know, it's a little too early to write off acres, but the last few years with the dry spring, we've had very few prevented plant acres, you know, maybe in the neighborhood of 1.5 million acres, and I think more typical is 4 to 5 million acres. So this may be a return to more of a typical prevented planting number, and so that might cut back on the corn acres a little bit.
Did you look up their date? Do you know what the date is there? It's fairly early.
I know they plant a lot of early maturity corn, 9,500-day corn. I'm not sure what their prevent plant date. I know ours is June 5th, but
right.
I don't think we have to worry about ours yet.
No, I don't think so. Well, let's go back to old crop now just a bit. Tell me about basis and what it looks like.
Well, we keep thinking basis will get better with a combination of the board going down, and if the farmers would ever get in the field, then that should slow down some farmer movement. But we start to see corn basis pick up ever so slightly, not anything near what we thought we might see for as little corn as what we think is left out there. But, you know, I think the end users have done a good job of getting some coverage on for that April-May time frame. We'll wait and see whether they've got their June-July needs covered yet or not. But basis levels have not exploded yet, but we may still see that in the June-July period.
Oh, you have no faith in USDA.
No.
Well, at least not on that number.
Exactly.
All right. So that June-July time frame could be really pretty explosive, I guess, in your opinion.
Yeah, it's just a question of whether farmers want to hold on, you know, that long to see whether we'll see a pop in basis or not. You know, the board may go down if we get off to a good start planning-wise, even so the basis may get better. But if the board goes down, hopefully we can get some stuff hedged on rallies and then wait for the basis to get better.
You think soybeans are in a tighter position?
Old crop beans certainly are. You know, we've been trying to squeeze every last bean through the pipeline here, knowing that the South American crop is going to come online at some point in time. And so, you know, the market is trying to do its best to incent farmers to move those beans. And I think most of those beans have moved, but it's kind of that high-stakes poker game when you get down to the last few bushels. You know, is there one more buyer out there, or is there one more seller left holding the bag?
Yeah, it's almost a game of chicken now. Do you have anything here that you're going to sell at this high enough price? And on the flip side, they're kind of stuck. It's like the pipeline is just ballooning on one end, waiting to spew out.
Exactly. It is. It's a high-stakes poker game, and, you know, maybe discretion is the better part of valor, and you take a little bit less. These are still good prices. If you think it's going to be lower in the fall, maybe you sell a little too soon rather than sell a little too late.
Yeah, speaking of selling, what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn is $6.69, new crop corn $5.15. Cash beans are $14.16, new beans are $11.86, and new crop wheat is $6.79.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon on the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Back in 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
It's National Glazed Ham Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1819, Oliver Evans died, an American millwright. Evans invented the first automatic corn mill, and he pioneered the high-pressure steam engine. Evans' corn mill used bucket elevators to raise the grain and a hopper to cool and dry the meal. In 1854, New York became the first state to fund a study of insects harmful to plants. In 1874, George Harrison Schull was born. an American botanist. He is frequently called the father of hybrid corn. As a result of his research, corn yields per acre increased between 25 and 50%. He developed a method of corn breeding that made possible the production of seed capable of thriving under various soil and climatic conditions. In 1878, Harley Proctor created Ivory Soap, and in 1955, the first franchised McDonald's was opened in Des Plaines, Illinois, by Ray Kroc, who purchased the hamburger restaurant owned by the McDonald brothers. On opening day, a two-patty hamburger was 15 cents, and French fries sold for a dime. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
This is the closing market report for a Monday afternoon, tax day, the 15th day of April. On the phone line, Josh Darr. He's at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Is it cloudy and gloomy there too, Josh?
You know what? We're just starting to cloud over after what was a beautiful start to the day here in Chicago. So we're starting to see those clouds from the rain showers I'm sure you're experiencing by now down south.
Well, we've been experiencing them for a little longer than today. I had 2 7/10 over the last set of storms.
Tale of two springs here versus last year. It's really really remarkable. We're just starting to compile some statistics looking at how this spring's shaping up. And last year, obviously, one of the driest on record. And even before the rain event that's ahead of us the next 72 hours, we're pacing here month-to-date as well as year-to-date, some of the wettest totals over the past 15 to 20 years across the Midwest. And we have a very big rain producer on the way here with these showers we're seeing across the state at the current time. That's just some scattered shower activity across the state out ahead of the main event, which will take place on late Tuesday, Wednesday into Thursday, where stronger showers and thunderstorms will develop widespread 2 to 4 inch amounts, maybe some isolated heavier amounts across the northern half of the state. And so we're going to go from wet to wetter as we round out the rest of this week. And certainly with this wetness, as well as the other main item of the equation here at this point, which is colder than normal temperatures for the bulk of the next 2 weeks, it's tough going as we start out the planting season.
That big storm that's going to be working its way across the northern part of Illinois, or two-thirds part of Illinois, that's a good portion of us. How widespread is it back to the west? Does it impact the Dakotas, where they've been suffering cold and snow, and they're a little scared about what will happen when things begin to melt?
Yeah, this is a snow producer across the Dakotas, western part of Nebraska, Wyoming. 2 to 6 inches of snow on the way, actually in progress, we should say, which will round up in the next 48 hours across that region. Then they catch a break, but they're certainly socked back into the Canadian cold through the weekend. Temporary relief late in the weekend, but then we're tracking potentially another storm system coming out of the plains and moving across the plains and Midwest in the middle portion of next week. Hard to say if that's going to be as big a rain producer as what we're seeing this week and what we saw last week. But bottom line, this pattern is not favorable for accelerating spring planting across the bulk of the Midwest. It's still cool and wet in the plains. So overall, it is just night and day difference from a year ago.
What is the major cause or the primary cause of the pattern?
Well, a couple factors there, Todd. The Arctic is certainly locked in a pattern that we've seen since the middle of February. No signs that it gives up through the end of the month. Also, as a result of that, the snow cover across northern, southern Canada, the northern U.S., some of the deepest and most extensive levels we've seen in the past decade. And so that just reinforces the cold side of each cyclone coming through, and it looks like the parade of storm system continues every 5 to 7 days. That march has been on for a while here, and it just continues through the latter third of April. So bottom line, there's no real big jump start to unlock the pattern to something different here for the next 2 weeks. maybe by early May that will take hold, but we don't see it here in the maps over the next 10 days to 2 weeks.
Thanks so much, Josh.
Thanks, Todd.
Josh Dar is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Helps us wrap up this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Remember, you can hear it again at willag.org. That's willag.org. Try to have a good afternoon. Try to stay dry. I'm Todd Gleason.